Hey, real quick before we start, at the Lost Bay Studio, we just have released the Fear Bundle, a collection of 11 contemporary horror indie TTRPGs. Pre-orders are open on the Lost Bay store and the bundle is 20% off in the first 48 hours. We're talking kaiju, zombies, corporate horror, or suburban nightmare. The bundle has a modular structure and includes all you need for weeks of play, full adventures, map, NPCs, and even a solo game. 11 zines from your favorite designers, and there's even a mini dungeon by me, Ico. It's the Fear Bundle we ship worldwide. Get your copy at thelostbaystudio.com. I'll put the link in the show notes, but again, it's thelostbaystudio.com.
One of the earliest reasons I started creating a game like Cloud Empress was because I had maybe trans and queer friends that wanted to play Dungeons and Dragons. Mm-hmm. But for a number of reasons, I'm not particularly interested in playing any traditional fantasy setting, particularly Dungeons and Dragons. So I wanted to create a setting that would evoke some of the things I thought players wanted out of Dungeons and Dragons, which to me is this idea of an adventuring party that can move throughout the world, meet new people, and explore new places. I wanted to leave behind the notion that in order to do exploration and adventure, a person would need to steal from the world around them, or to kill as a primary verb or action. So what exists beyond stealing and killing? Well, it turns out there's a lot, but those things often are, it seems, more difficult to replicate or take more risk to play in a role-playing game space.
You're listening to the Lost Bay Podcast, a show about and with indie tabletop RPG creators and artists. I'm Ico. Before starting, a warm welcome to Chris Aereo, new patron of the show, and to Peter Non-Gracious and Alex T, other patrons. If you too want to support the show and help us releasing more episodes, check patreon.com/thelostbay. Today my guest is Watt, designer of Cloud Empress, a fucking awesome game if you ask me. Cloud Empress is an ecological science fantasy RPG where characters roam in a world ruled by the patterns of giant psychedelic cicadas. The game is visually uniquely beautiful. It has a retro-futuristic 70s vibe. It's an extended campaign setting for the science fantasy RPG Mothership, but actually it's more than a setting. It's a whole new game fully compatible with Mothership, with so many additional features like magic or a new character creation procedure. The game is kickstarting right now. I'll drop the Kickstarter link in the comments. You should check it and if you can, back it. And now without further ado, here's what.
I started playing role-playing games in college, so it's not that difficult to remember my first session. We were playing Pathfinder First Edition. I was sort of the forever game master, so before I ever got to play, I had to start being the game master as sort of the catalyst for playing. I had some players that were playing some other maybe fourth edition campaigns, and they were interested in playing as a group of friends that we knew each other from high school.
And before playing RPGs, like, were you, like, I don't know, as a teenager or a kid, into imaginary worlds?
I have a pretty active imagination, and I was into a lot of nerd media, I would say. I got pretty into collecting Magic the Gathering as a young kid. Mm-hmm. And so I didn't know how to play, but I would look at these cards and just be blown away by the artwork. And I was always interested in the biggest creatures, the coolest monsters, that kind of thing. And so I would collect Magic the Gathering and really use that as a way of imagining things. I wanted to make video games from a very young age because my dad would play computer games. I remember sitting on his lap playing Doom and maybe him having a Quake on his work computer and sitting there playing it, probably too young for those things. But I remember really wanting to make video games, and I really wanted to do three-dimensional graphics like the TV show Transformers Beast Wars, mm-hmm. for folks that remember that. But it was so far away from what I was capable of doing that I ended up making a lot of claymation films as a young child.
Cloud Empress strikes a unique vibe. It's inspired by works as Miyazaki's Nausicaa in the Valley of the Wind, Frank Herbert's Dune, and Hiromu Arakawa's Full Metal Alchemist. Its writing is both streamlined and evocative, and the rule set expands mothership in a way that opens to new gaming possibilities.
One of the primary starts was wanting to include magic in the mothership RPG system. I really was drawn to the way that particularly magic systems, magic items, magic spells in tabletop role-playing games could do things that were truly unique to the role-playing game space. Items that you really could never design in a video game because it would be so difficult and there's so many things to consider. What I'm most interested in tabletop role-playing games are the unique experiences that are so imaginative, so creative, so difficult to do anywhere else. They are unique and sort of have to be in tabletop role-playing games to exist. And so I had this big draw towards magic, and I thought, well, how could I apply that to a mothership setting? And came up with a couple different ideas. And the project really culminated and started to spark when I found some artists looking for commission work.
So as Watt was doing research for this project, they stumbled across a group of artists called Catapulta. Encountering those artists had a decisive impact in the development of Cloud Empress.
I remember seeing their artwork and seeing that they were open for commissions, and I had seen them previously on Twitter and was so excited that they were taking work on that I hopped into their email and said, oh my gosh, I'd love to work with you. But I didn't really fully have a project yet, but I kept sending these commissions, and every week I'd be like, wait, no, let's change that. Let's do that differently. I would commission sort of a piece at a time. And as those pieces were coming together, I would start to think about what kind of world does the artwork depict as I'm writing it. And this was also tremendously helpful in the marketing of Cloud Empress. My first project was about 200 backers. It was a pretty small project in the indie tabletop role-playing game scene. It's called Hot Stuff on Shore Leave, and I had done some other smaller projects beyond that. But yeah,
that was a really cool project, by the way.
Oh, thank you. But sharing the work while you're making it really draws people in, especially if you have visual elements. And
yeah,
for the last 6 to 8 months, I've been sharing artwork from Cloud Empress, and I have a little bit of a following of folks that have been waiting to get their hands on the game.
So a couple of questions about those artists. Their work is truly super evocative, super strong. What is it that you saw in their drawings that attracted you, you know?
The two artists, Pabita and Garen, they work together and they have somewhat different styles, but they use the same black and white mm-hmm. ink on paper style. So first there was a cohesion to both of these artists' work, and they were both taking commissions. So that was great.
Yeah.
The second thing was we had a lot of the same inspirations, and there were little touches. Some of the eyes that Pabita draws really do remind me of a Miyazaki film. Mm-hmm. It's not derivative work, but there are certain little touchstones that conjure in my mind and bring forth this connection to some of my favorite Hayao Miyazaki works, in particular Nausicaa and the Valley of the Wind, which we both love. Mm-hmm. The creator of Mothership, Sean McCoy, talked about how Mothership's success is in part because it chooses a very unique visual style. Mm-hmm. It's messy. It's horrifying. It's imperfect. It's punk.
Yeah.
And what I look for when I'm making my own artwork and when I'm commissioning artwork, does this look like anything else anyone's seen? Mm. And that doesn't mean that it needs to be executed better than anyone else, but what is a piece of artwork that really stands out and really looks different than the things around it? One of my goals with Cloud Empress and my other projects is that someone could look at a single page and identify the game that it's in.
I think you've reached that point already. Like, the game is not out yet. I mean, you're kickstarting it right now, but you've already established a very strong visual identity. I mean, it's mm-hmm. very well executed, and not only the art, but like the art and the layout style, which goes along with it. Yeah, I think I could recognize like, yeah, Cloud Empress, I don't know, NPC or page, if it popped on my feed on Twitter right now.
That's great to hear. The final thing that I really appreciated about both Pobita and Garen's artwork was many of the characters had a haunted look in their eyes. Mm-hmm. There was a deep sadness to many of the pieces of the artwork that I saw, and I only recently identified this, but there's an interplay between the tenderness and connection that I want players to feel with each other and the world, and also the hollowness, the isolation, the dangers they face from a world that doesn't seem to care about them in the way that it would be great if it did.
You quote Dune as an inspiration, and I find it similar in a way. It has a very deep universe, but there are a lot of gaps left for the enjoyment of the reader or the player.
I spent the first 2 or 3 months of the project designing the character sheet. Mm-hmm. One of my favorite things about Mothership is everything you need to generate a character is on the character sheet, except for a few tables that you'll have to roll on. It's all right there, and it teaches you how to create a character and how to play as you're using a single US letter size piece of paper. And so I wanted that to be part of Cloud Empress, and I knew that that was an important DNA element to Mothership that I wanted to replicate. I started with 25 character classes because I wanted to explain the world through the different character classes and jobs in it, but I realized that was a little much. Oh, yeah. I realized I could share the different identities of the people that might be traveling in the world first and foremost through 4 jobs. The other piece, as you mentioned, I have a real aversion to tabletop role-playing games that have pages and pages of lore. And my largest pet peeve that I sometimes talk about, or my largest aversion, is when a game starts with 2 to 5 pages of a timeline of the world's history. So that's something I think I've really learned in part from great literature, from great science fiction, science fantasy, but also from one of my major inspirations from software games, Elden Ring, Dark Souls. They tell stories through the items that you pick up, through the spaces you navigate, through the clothing that different characters you fight or engage with wear. Mm. And it creates a space where it respects the audience's ability to make their own judgments and disseminate information, which I feel is something that is really honorable. I think it's really meaningful when creator allows their audience to make their own conclusions, but also supports their ideas with enough context that they can have those conclusions.
Cloud Empress, everything is mutable, everything changes somehow, and even the characters are restless. There's travel, both physically and metaphorically, like things changing, passing. Is that correct? Is that something you recognize, or...
That's really interesting. I have been thinking about my own work from a lens of writing a lot of characters that are trapped.
Oh, yeah.
So I think there's actually a dichotomy there that I am exploring. Some of my recent characters are hooked up to machines where they can't leave. I'm writing an adventure in an industrial wasteland where a large AI is trapped in the basement. And what kind of experience does that AI have? But I do think that one of the earliest reasons I started creating a game like Cloud Empress was because I had maybe trans and queer friends that wanted to play Dungeons and Dragons. Mm-hmm. But for a number of reasons, I'm not particularly interested in playing any traditional fantasy setting, particularly Dungeons and Dragons. Mm-hmm. So I wanted to create a setting that would evoke some of the things I thought players wanted out of Dungeons and Dragons, which to me is this idea of an adventuring party that can move throughout the world, meet new people, and explore new places. I wanted to leave behind the notion that in order to do exploration and adventure, a person would need to steal from the world around them or to kill as a primary verb or action. So what exists beyond stealing and killing? Well, it turns out there's a lot, but those things often are, it seems, more difficult to replicate or take more risk to play in a role-playing game space.
Okay. That's really interesting. And you were talking about finding artists that have a unique style. And but the layout has also a unique style in terms of what we are used to see in the RPG or in the wider indie RPG scene. It's really cool. It's so cool.
Thank you. I'll say that graphic design is something I'm in the early stages of learning. I've certainly done layout before on my previous books, but it feels like every book I put out, I learn 50% what I did on the previous book. So I'm learning quite a bit. My influences then came from first Dune. I used the same font. Oh, yeah. It's sort of this font that has these bubble 70s letters with these almost leaf-like serifs to them. And someone generously scanned those online and put them up as a free font, and I'm really grateful for them. The other big inspiration I had was a comic artist, graphic illustrator named Lando. Mm-hmm. And I had picked up a book by Lando at a record store / thrift shop / zine store in, I want to say, Nashville, Tennessee. Mm-hmm. It had this really scratchy, inky style. But the thing that really struck me was it had these line graphic design elements that looked very 70s on the cover, and it was printed on yellow paper with this pinkish salmon color font. Mm-hmm. And it looked like it came from the 70s. And, wow. And I thought, wow, this is genius. What I later learned as I was doing research about that book and about that graphic design style was that there was a Penguin Science Fiction Classics series that used this really bright orange with this lighter tan color. I selected the same color and used that as a color correction for the line art itself, and then used that sort of tan, earthy, worn paper effect with some of the borders that I had seen Lando use and this Penguin Science Fiction Classics collection.
That's super interesting. You invited some other designers to bring their own creativity into the project.
It's Alfred Valley, Joel Hines, Kiana Shaw, Sebastian Yu, and Sam Lee.
Yeah.
So those are the five creators that I've invited and commissioned onto the project.
That's an awesome roster. And we're establishing a very strong universe with this Kickstarter that looks very much like the beginning of something, actually. And you were inviting in this first foundational moment of Cloud Empress universe, other creators to work on your universe. Why? What's the desire behind that?
The primary reason that I brought on this group of creators to create these pamphlets. First is I just really like their work.
Yeah, sure.
I'm really excited to see what they're going to come up with. But I would say that the largest reason is that I didn't want to be the expert on this world. Mm-hmm. I wanted to show both players and wardens and writers that there aren't hard rules to what we're doing together with Cloud Empress. I want them to feel like whatever happens at that table is their expression of play, of creativity, and that they did not need to follow my rules in order to have an amazing experience. Put what you want in there. I am trying to create a setting that's firm enough that people understand what they're looking at and that entices people to play, but not one that's so rigid as to feel limiting or like a wrong answer is right around the corner if I don't read the book 8 times.
Ah, that's a really cool design goal, actually. And to build on that, I've seen on the Cloud Empress website a note about the third-party license, which sounds very much like you were inviting folks who are interested in working on Cloud Empress to get in touch with you. And that's very cool, like building, involving, and growing a community around your own projects, which is, by the way, very much a mothership's philosophy, too. We haven't spoken about Mothership yet. It's a really cool game. It's a really beautiful game. And it's a really cool community too. Extremely productive, creative. So I was wondering, how did you decide to build your game as a hack of Mothership, basically? Which is, correct me if I'm wrong, it's not super frequent, right? There's a lot of adventures and supplements from Mothership. But I know Cloud Empress is a campaign setting, but it looks like really like a hack of the game itself. So how did you pick that game to build your own?
I stumbled on Mothership, like I do many other games, hearing about it on Twitter and podcasts and maybe interviews with Sean, and eventually it sort of coming more distinctly into my awareness. I had been thinking about publishing more, about meeting other creative people that were working in the indie tabletop role-playing game space. And I'm a person that tends to seek community, I would say, generally. I like Mothership the game, but the magic for me is there's a really creative group of people working in the space that are really supportive of each other. By and large, those folks are really welcoming of inclusive voices. They're really respectful.
Yeah.
They want to be part of a positive community that supports the creators and supports other players. And I also see Tuesday night games playing a really active role in shaping the community.
Yeah.
I don't have a lot of capacity to bring community together beyond answering folks' questions. I'm not planning on doing like a Discord server at this point. I just don't feel like I have the capacity to do that. Mm-hmm. But I see Tuesday Night Games doing that. So those community aspects were really attractive to me. So I started to think, I do want to design in the Mothership space. What could I do in that space that hasn't been done before?
Yeah.
And what kind of themes, ideas, messages, questions do I want to explore with my art?
So the Kickstartering is going amazingly well. What folks can find and how is it structured? What are the rewards? What do you want to tell us about the Kickstarter?
The Cloud Empress Kickstarter is really meant to be a kickoff to a new world that players can explore. It is a pretty ambitious project, but a lot of work has gone into it ahead of time, commissioning the artwork, doing a lot of the writing and graphic design. So there is a rule book which covers all the rules that you would need to play Cloud Empress with the foundation of Mothership. And then it also includes a setting book, which is a what's looking like 84-tile hex map that players can explore with 5 different biomes, different regions in the world, and 5 different adventure locations that folks could go on. The rule book also includes an introductory adventure.
That's a lot. That's already like weeks of games.
Yes, that's the sort of core experience. And folks can use that with existing Mothership characters being transported into this strange new world with all new items and spells and magic and all that kind of stuff.
Yes.
Or you could create your own characters, obviously, in the setting. You could use the hex map and go on a longer campaign, or you could use any one of the adventure locations as a one-shot. They're really designed to be individual play experiences that would be fulfilling. The other piece then is the 5 pamphlets that I've commissioned that expand the world. Each one takes place in one of the current Cloud Empress's biomes, and they are a location adventure that you can easily place on the hex map. They are trifold pamphlets, which is another hallmark of Mothership, I would say, is these really neat, dense pamphlets that folks could dig into. The final sort of tier that folks can jump on is a deluxe bundle, which includes some of the goodies that I see some Mothership players really looking for in terms of a Cloud Empress patch. There's a larger poster, and specifically the back will have the hex map printed on it for play at the table, as well as 2 art cards of some of the really amazing artwork by an artist named Poncel that's just these really expressive, almost watercolor-like artwork that really evokes some of the magic and mystery of Cloud Empress, I think.
You've unlocked a lot of stretch goals. Is there like one of the stretch goals that you find particularly cool or that's exciting you?
I'll share one that I think is really neat. It's a NPC bingo bounty card.
Okay, what's that?
So one of the things that I'm trying to really intentionally do is make sure that all our stretch goals will not impact or significantly impact our timeline. The bingo bounty card is a postcard that's easy to include in our current shipping model that slides right into the package.
Yeah.
It's a bunch of pictures of the NPCs, which I found can be really helpful at the table for showing, hey, this is the person you're talking to right now. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
But it's designed to be sort of an in-world document to some extent, not fully, but there are a group of treasure hunters in the world that move throughout the world, stealing, plundering, and looking for things that they can take. And part of that is finding wanted individuals and bounty hunting. And so this is sort of a mock-up of one of the pages that they might be carrying with information about some wanted NPCs.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah, I've backed your game.
Oh, thank you.
And I'm just taking like the opportunity of this interview. I'd love to play it. If at some point you've got a table, if you got an open seat, just call me.
Awesome. Oh, yeah.
What backers can expect in terms of schedule for like the fulfillment of the book?
One of the things I do with my projects is I try to do as much of the work I can before the project goes to crowdfunding so that I'm minimizing the risks after it launches. Of course, that means maybe more personal financial risks of the project not being successful, but making sure that I have artists I know that can deliver work on time, making sure that I know that I can get the writing done on time. So I think somewhere around 6 to 8 months should be able to keep that excitement going with some continual updates and free content releases on my newsletter, as well as a digital preview coming out several months before the print release.
Okay, that's super contained schedule. And I'm going to ask you like one question. You don't have to answer more than one word. Like you can say yes or no or whatever. You're focused on the Kickstarter of Cloud Empress, but I have a feeling that there's more planned after that, like more Cloud Empress. Is that correct?
Cloud Empress is really intended to be an expansive campaign setting. So I have anywhere from 5 to 7 years of content that I could see being released for the game, and it could easily go beyond that.
That's exciting.
One thing in my mind, I do want to make sure that I'm able to do this in a healthy way that supports me and my family and the community. So I don't want to be in a place where I'm putting out so much that it's damaging my health, let's say, or my relationships. But the idea is that there will be maybe slightly larger releases every other year with a smaller release on the following years.
That's really cool. That's really beautiful universe. And so folks who are listening to the podcast, if you're backing Cloud Empress, you're not just backing a one-time thing, you're backing like the beginning of something which sounds extremely, extremely exciting.
Cloud Empress is intended to be a trilogy of the setting books. So the first book takes place in the polluted farmland under the clouds. The second of the trilogy is intended to take place in the cloud cities above the clouds that are hanging from outer space on these elevator threads.
And the third?
I was going to leave it.
I was waiting. What's happening?
We'll have to see where the third one takes place. I definitely have some ideas for that. We'll leave that as a mystery for now.
Okay, that's cool.
That was What, designer of Cloud Empress. The game is still kickstarting. Check the link in the show notes. A ton of cool stretch goals have been unlocked. And if you can, don't miss this opportunity, folks. It's really a great, great game. You've listened to the Lost Bay podcast, a show about and with indie tabletop RPG creators and artists. It's produced and edited by me, Iko. Additional editing by Jay Strootman. Music is by Avery Eyes. If you want to reach out or check the amazing zines and bundles we publish, head to our site, thelostbaystudio.com. There's always new, fresh, super curated, cool zines in the catalog. Thanks for listening, and until next time, stay well. Thank you.